Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtman Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11, also weekends, and I handle certain topics in this show that may interest you. I handle literary issues, French, Russian, American, and English literature. I love literature, and I love books, and this show considers the matter of literature. The show also is engaged in biblical interpretation and in theology and in current events in politics. I am conservative in my political position, but I say this, that I am very concerned with the underclass and the those in poverty. I know that Jesus wants an equal distribution of wealth and doesn't want people in poverty on any basis. And so that's my position. This is a politically, by the way, this is a politically incorrect show. We are concerned with truth and honesty and facts. We are not concerned with political ideology or with anything like that, or with political media lies or media falsehoods. We're not concerned with CNN. We're not concerned with the New York Times. We're concerned with Holy Scripture and the great books of the past, the great Christian books such as Aquinas, Augustine, St. Paul, who's the greatest religious thinker that I can know of, Milton, John Milton, the author of Paradise Lost, and many other great writers of the same type. I am a Christian, and also I'm a Christian. I adhere to Holy Scripture from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, and I also adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed. I also adhere to, I read the great Christian books. So I'm going to read a book. I'm going to read St. Augustine. I'm going to read St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm going to read Bonhoeffer, T.S. Eliot, G.K. Chesterton, etc. These are the books that fill my mind. As Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, these are the books that we should read to stretch our minds and make them and develop them. This is what we should read, not the New York Post, not the New York Times, and certainly not CNN. These are the promulgators of political ideological lies. They waste my time, they waste my mind, and they do not stretch my thinking as the books I just described. I also am run two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show. The Blog Talk radio show has many people, visitors from Muslim countries and visitors from countries all over the world. And I'm very happy to say my Muslim brothers and sisters are willing to listen to my Christian faith and look at my Christian books. I'm very happy about it, and that's it. I also, the podcast show has had over 4,400 visitors, again from countries all over the world. Both of these have Christian orientation, but many of my Muslim brothers and sisters visit these shows, I'm very happy to say. Most elated. I'm always willing to dialogue with people, to talk to people, to engage them in a discussion of truth and honesty. I'm also a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. I've written a number of Christian books, including Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, and recently a book on the Psalms. These books have sold well, and I am planning the book on the Psalms. The Psalms are one of my favorite books of the Bible, and they stir me. They are my spiritual food, and they develop me in my thinking, which no other book is able to do. They are the Word of God. They are the voice of Christ. They are the voice of God to me. When I read the Psalms, as I said, as Mortimer Adler said, my mind is stretched and developed beyond what the regular offers me or images. By the way, Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, that the images that people think they'll learn from, that these images are drugs. He also made a very important comment in that book that I think you should know about. He said, the Bible is the foundation of Western culture. This is a challenge to our school system and to our thinking that television and computers and cell phones are the answer, when Mortimer Adler said they are drugs, and we do not learn from them. We only learn from complex works of print, which I suggest you read. I also am writing, I'm writing three blog books of my blogs. I'm also writing a book on the miracles of the Bible, and I'm writing another book. I've written two law books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and I also have written, I'm writing three blog books of my literary, theological, and political blogs. Three books are coming out, and I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, and also on the pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. That book is quite lengthy and complex. It'll take me some time to write it, but I am in the process of writing it. And I also am writing a book on the book of Job, a wonderful book in the Bible. And I do hope that that these books will be read. I'm still convinced that print is the medium for truth and communication. And you are wasting your time on images, which are drugs and lies. That's the main point. And images manipulate and are lies. They are unhelpful and do not help us in the least. I've written three articles, and one in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, and one on Academicus in Albanian Scientific, two on Academicus in Albanian Scientific Journal. These articles have been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. So I do hope that you will find them helpful. Tonight, I am going to be, first of all, I wrote a book, The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary, and one of the parables that I spoke of in this book is one of my favorites. By the way, when Jesus speaks, his words bear great and careful consideration. When he speaks, I listen. So when I read the words of Christ in the Bible, these are the words that guide me, and I attempt as a human being to understand what he's talking about. And the parables are certainly a great, great deal of the, contain a great deal of the words and advice of Christ. There are 41 of them. I interpreted in this book on the parables, and I'd like to talk about one of my favorite parables, one of the most profound parables found in Holy Scripture. It's found in Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Jesus says here that the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him." Then though all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps it will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready were in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also saying, "Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." And therefore, there is the word of advice at the end of the parable. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." It's a very familiar parable. It's related in the Gospel of Matthew. In the parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Christ, is the kingdom of heaven. And the 10 maidens are humanity. They took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were said to be foolish and five wise, because the foolish took their lamps and took their but took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they slept. But at midnight, there was a cry that the bridegroom has arrived, namely Christ. This is an analogy. And they should come out and meet him. So, what are we talking about here? Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven, the gospel, is akin to a marriage feast. And the bridegroom is going to be met. And the five wise virgins take oil in their lamps. The five foolish do not. Then all the maidens arose, and the foolish wanted to give, and the foolish wanted the wise to give them their oil, because the lamps of the foolish were going out, and there were so they asked for oil. Again, our sinful humanity, they want to meet. Jesus is coming to meet people, and yet some are not prepared. They have no oil in their lamps. They're foolish. Their lamps are going out. And the wise replied there would not be enough for both groups and advised the foolish to go to the dealer and buy oil for themselves. The wise replied there wouldn't be enough. They can't give it to them. And they advised the foolish to go to the dealers and buy oil. So the foolish were not prepared for the coming of Christ. They're not prepared for the gospel. They were not prepared for entering the kingdom of heaven. And they asked the wise for their oil. But the wise replied, well, you're not prepared. There's not enough. You have to go out and buy oil. And when the foolish went to buy, Jesus comes. And those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. This is what we face, Jesus tells us. If we're not ready for his coming, for his presence, we have to leave and get oil for ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves when we are unprepared. And while the foolish went out to buy, Christ comes, and those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. So the door to eternal life, the door to Christ, is shut because the foolish maidens were not prepared for his coming. Afterwards, the other maidens came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And they begged the door be opened, just like the we sinners, when we're not ready for the coming of Christ. The door is shut. But the other maidens came saying, these foolish maidens said, please open. And he says, I do not know you. And watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So when we are not ready for the coming of Christ, he says, he shuts the door on us. And he says, I do not know you. And then he says, watch. Then he warns us here. This is a warning. He says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. It's an important warning. He says, you don't know when I'll be here, and you have to be prepared. And so this parable may be seen as an allegory of the coming of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and the 10 virgins are those people, Christians, who are waiting his comings. The idea behind this parable is that we must be prepared, expectant for the coming of Christ. And those who in his lives are ready for his coming are welcome to the heavenly feast. But those whose lives are too late and they are not prepared are excluded from heaven and the banquet. So this is a very key, deep piece of writing. The parable may be seen as the allegory of the coming of Christ, and Christ is the bridegroom, and the 10 virgins are the people, the Christians, who are awaiting his coming. The idea behind the parable is that we Christians must be prepared for the coming of Christ, and those in their lives are ready for his coming are welcomed. But those who are too late in their lives of preparation are excluded. Those who in their lives do not live their lives in Christ and are not ready when he comes will be told that he does not know him. That's what he says here. To those who in their lives have not lived their lives in a holy and Christian manner, they are not ready when he comes. will be told that he does not know them. The ultimate advice and admonition is to keep alert and watch, for none of us knows the day or the hour we will be summoned to be with Christ. So, I think this parable should be seen as an allegory of the coming of Christ, and we must be ready at all times for his coming. We will never know when he will come and welcome us to his presence. And if we have not been ready morally and spiritually in our lives to that point, then we will not be ready. Not being ready, we will be not be welcomed, sharing the joy of happiness or eternal life with Christ in the world. This is a very, very deep and complex piece of writing, and I'm going to talk about it again tomorrow to flesh out what is meant here. But I think the key is we have to be ready, and that if we are not ready for the coming of Christ and his gospel, then we are excluded from heaven. That is really what he's saying here. Christ is the bridegroom. The 10 virgins are the Christians who are awaiting his coming. The idea is that we must be prepared for the coming of Christ, and those who in their lives are ready for his coming are welcome to heaven. Those who are too late in their lives that they've lived are excluded. So you might say those who in their lives do not live and have not lived their lives in Christ are not ready when he comes. Well, and they will be told, I do not know you. The ultimate admonition here is to keep alert and watch, for we don't know the day or hour we'll be summoned to be with Christ. And sure, I think this parable should be seen as an allegory of the coming of Christ, and that we must be ready at all times. We do not know when he will come and ask that we come to his presence. If we are not ready morally and spiritually to that point, we will not be ready. We will not be welcome to share in the joy of eternal life in Christ. I hope you understand this parable. It's found in chapter 24 of my book, on pages 61 and 62. The parable of the 10 virgins. I'm going to talk about it again tomorrow night because I think it's important to understand what Jesus is talking about. As I said, every word of Jesus comes from the mind of God, and we cannot sufficiently grasp and understand what he is talking about. Thank you very much, and I'll be talking about this again tomorrow night.